This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8:25, Capitals GM Brian McClellan made some moves this week themselves. Re-signing Alex Ovechkin. He'll be here for 5 more years. Traded with Brendan Dillon. Brought back Vitek Vanacek. So he'll jump on at 8:25. But joining us right now is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game in stock now. Find the latest in all golf clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and more at Golfdom and Tysons or at GolfdomGolf.com. Tell them the junkie sent you. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. Just for the record, I haven't traded anybody this week.
You haven't, but your old pal, no. Mike Rizzo, has.
Yeah, he certainly has. The Scherzer rumors have been out there for 2 months, and the way they've played recently made it apparent that they were going to be sellers, not buyers. Even though they're in what's probably baseball's weakest division, I still don't believe in the Mets, especially with all the injuries they've had. The Turner trade, trading Turner in that deal, did shock me. Because he's only 28, he's got another year on his contract. He still seems to be improving as a player. He's been a better player than I honestly thought he was when they first got him, 5-6 years ago now. But it's apparent what they're doing here. The trades aren't so much about the prospects they get back. Look, if one or two of the prospects turn out to become starters or stars at some point, then that obviously is a good thing. But what they've done is they've put themselves in a position where they can really aggressively go after free agents this fall because they've carved their payroll in half since the beginning of the season. So I think that was the strategy: get the payroll down, put yourself in a position to go after guys, and hope that a couple of these prospects prove out, because I don't know anything about this sort of thing, but according to people who are experts, the Nationals farm system right now is very, very weak, or was before yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been taking calls all morning, John, and people understand the max deal just because of his age, and he's a free agent, and they just understand the business that way, but they don't understand the Turner stuff. And we're trying to tell them, hey, the learners don't like to just spend whatever it takes to get these guys. The learners probably told Mike, we're not going to give Trey $325 million in 2 years. We're not going to do it.
So yeah, and that's what he's going to cost a lot, yeah, when he becomes a free agent, because he is that good a player. And the learners have always spent money on pitching. And have been, as you said, Jason, sometimes stingier. I wouldn't say stingy. It's not like they're the Tampa Bay Rays when it comes to position players. You know, the thing about Scherzer, and I think it's great the way people in Washington are reacting and saying, hey, he gave us 7 great years. He helped us win a World Series. He's the heart and soul of the team. I don't think there's any question about that. And there have been rare occasions where guys are traded as a rental, and they go back to the team that traded them. Mike Bordick did it with the Orioles, or Aroldis Chapman did it with the Yankees. I'm sure there are others I'm not thinking of. and you know, maybe Scherzer would re-sign. But the Dodgers tend to pay guys. And LA is a good place to be, obviously. And then the Nationals are going to be in a rebuilding period. And if you're a 37 going on 38 year old pitcher, I'm not sure you want to go re-sign with a team that's rebuilding as opposed to a team that contends every year, which the Dodgers do. The thing that I think about the trade that I think is the downside is, one, Max is still a hell of a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you say, well, he's not what he used to be, so now we'll get some value for him. I mean, he's still one of the five or six best pitchers in the game, and he's the guy you want in your clubhouse. I mean, I want Max Scherzer in my clubhouse. I mean, Steven Strasburg's never been any kind of leader. Soto's too young. He may eventually become that kind of leader. But Scherzer, you know, throughout winning the World Series and all the years when they've been solid, he's been the heart and soul of that team. And I think that you know, sometimes there are intangible losses when you trade someone or someone leaves in free agency. And I think Scherzer's one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Nats fans aren't used to a sell-off for this team. I mean, Rizzo's usually buying, you know?
Right. No, they've been good every year, really, except for 18. And then he didn't pull the trigger on Harper when he could have traded him, and then did eventually trade Daniel Murphy late in August. But you're right. I mean, they've been a contending team virtually every year since 2012. So this is unusual. And the interesting thing is 7.5 games back is not like 26 games back like the Orioles. And again, in a weak division. I mean, there's only one team over 500 right now. But the way they were losing games in the last week, I think, convinced the Lerners and Rizzo that this was the way to go, to look long-term, rather than maybe somehow winning a weak division and then, or, you know, they weren't going to get a wild card and going out quickly in the playoffs. Build for the future. I tend to agree with that kind of thinking.
Yeah. Talking to best-selling author John Feinstein, who's brought to you by Golfman. They have what you need to live the game in stock now. Find the latest in all golf clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and more. Golfman and Tysons are at golfmangolf.com. Tell them the Junkie sent you. Golfman, live the game. So let's turn to the Wizards, who had a phenomenal talent in Westbrook for 1 year. They trade him for three pretty good players with the Lakers and make a couple moves, of course, with the draft and make a move for a point guard. What do you make of what Tommy Shepard is doing with the Wizards?
You know, I think there are a lot of people who doubted the Tommy Shepard hire a couple years ago after Ernie Grunfeld got fired.
Mm-hmm.
I was biased because I know Tommy Shepard away from basketball. I think I've mentioned to you guys that his wife's a master swimmer. I think Tommy's done a hell of a job. First, I think he was amazing that he was able to get Westbrook for Wall when Wall was demanding to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely got the better of that deal. And again, money is a big deal in this trade because they're shedding a lot of salary. I mean, I think Westbrook was supposed to be played something like $45 million this year.
Now you got to pay those three guys. You know,
you have to pay those, but three guys. Those are
sure.
Three of your salaries rather than one of your salaries,
right.
And they could be trade bait.
Sure,
any of those three guys, as you said, they're all solid players. They're nowhere close to being as good as Westbrook, but I think they were sending a message to Bradley Beal: you are the guy. We don't want you to leave or to be.
Yep.
We don't want to trade you.
Yep.
And he's going to be the big salary on this team for now. I think they did well getting Corey Kispert at 15. I like him because he can score. He's a guy with size who can score. I think this was a step in the right direction. Westbrook's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. There's no question about it. But there's a reason why he's this will be his fourth team in 4 years.
Yeah.
I think he's a difficult guy to handle for a coach, especially maybe for a rookie coach. He plays as hard as anybody in the league, but I think he's a lot about his individual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they're trying to build here is a team that'll win. I mean, as good as Westbrook was for most of the season, Beal led the league in scoring. They finished ninth in the East. That's
mm-hmm.
not your goal. And I think they're, again, like the Nats, they're trying to build for the long term. I don't know that this improves the team for this coming season, but I think it has the potential to improve them down the road.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder in L.A., you know, LeBron obviously wanted Westbrook. I mean, he approved the deal. That's the reason he's there. But it kind of makes you wonder, because when Westbrook was in OKC with Durant, I mean, there was some friction there. I mean, they're obviously great talent on the floor, but there was some friction. And obviously the chemistry didn't work. They lost to the Heat that year.
They never made the finals when he was in Oklahoma City.
Right. But I'm saying that's true. They did not make the finals that year. But there was some friction, is my point, between the two stars.
Yeah, you're right. There was friction in Houston, too.
Yeah, how's that going to work with LeBron and Davis? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's still only one ball. What's LeBron going to be this year? 36, I think, in December. They're not going to be a young team, and Davis is younger, but he's injury prone. So there's certainly some question marks in L.A. But you're right. I mean, LeBron obviously wanted this deal, and going back to when he was in Cleveland the first time, you know, as the old song from Damn Yankees goes, whatever LeBron wants, LeBron gets. And you know, let's be real, Westbrook's a great player. And so the potential with him there with Davis and LeBron is great. But there's also potential. He's sort of like the Nets. I mean, the Nets have these three superstars. And I saw right after the Bucks won the title that, you know, Vegas came out with next year's odds and the Nets are the favorites. Does anybody really think all three of those guys are going to be on the court when it matters? Really? You really want to put your trust in – if you're making a bet, you want to put your trust in Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and Durant's great, but he's injury-prone. And Harden is great, but played well for most of this year, but he's also had some injury issues, and none of them are getting any younger.
I wanted to ask you about Simone Biles, because it's been such a fascinating thing, and I don't have a hot take on it, but I give you my perspective, and I'd like to hear yours. I come from a family, like, depression is real. My father was a counselor. I mean, severe depression runs in my family. I'm very attuned to mental health. I got a master's in education with a focus in counseling. So I'm very attuned to it, but I don't think that just because you talk about it, it makes you a hero by any stretch. So I'm very torn on the Simone Biles thing. I'll be honest with you. I've had two instances in the last 3 days where people have said, hey, don't pull a Simone Biles here. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, don't choke. That's how people are using it. So I don't know. It's horrible. And she's a great Olympic athlete, one of the best of all time.
And arguably the best. And again, I'm no expert in gymnastics. But, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the interview that Mike Tirico did with Michael Phelps a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about Biles, and they were talking about the pressures on Katie Ledecky. And Phelps has openly talked about some of his mental health issues, you know, after he went to alcohol rehab, which I think is 5 years ago now, right after the 2016 Olympics. And I thought Phelps made a hell of a point that unless you're in that crucible, and he was talking specifically about the Olympics, and I've covered Olympics and I've talked to Olympic athletes through the years, unless you're in that crucible, especially when you're Michael Phelps or you're Katie Ledecky or you're Simone Biles, where Katie Ledecky is being, her Olympics are being labeled a failure, because she's had three individual races. She's won a gold and a silver and finished fifth in the 200. By any standard, you throw in a relay silver, she's had an amazing Olympics.
Right.
But because of her past standards, you know, people are, oh, God, she's really having a bad Olympics. She's done. She's over the hill. The Aussie girl is better than her, which she is in the 200 and the 400. And what the point Phelps was making, and he was surprisingly articulate, because I've never thought of Michael as particularly articulate. He's a good guy, but the pressure that athletes face in the Olympics, especially those who are in the spotlight, the ones that NBC is pushing minute after. I mean, I don't know if you were watching the other night, but after Katie Ledecky swam the 200 and finished fifth, literally every 10 minutes they were showing her in the warm-up pool. Oh, she's 40 minutes away from swimming again. She's 30 minutes away from swimming again. She knows the camera's there. They all have to deal with that. And look, that you know, there are great perks and privileges that come with stardom. We all know that. But I think it's hard for any of us, I mean, you've got counseling in your background, Eric, so you may understand it better, but I think it's hard for any of us who haven't been through that pressure. I mean, I know the pressure of competing. Mm-hmm. We all do, but not on that level. Mm-hmm. And for us to understand what these athletes are dealing with. And I think it's good, and Phelps said this too, I think it's good that more athletes are willing to come out and say, listen, I got a problem here. I have an emotional yes. problem. My body's fine. But and I think we're going to see a lot more of it, and I hope we're going to see it treated better in the future.
I don't want to point to a specific person because this was a big thing, but you know, growing up in my immediate family, the stigma of depression was so debilitating. And mm-hmm. it's that's what you're getting at, right? We're trying to get out of that. But I don't think it makes you a hero, though, to do it at the same time. Maybe we need to. Maybe those breakthrough people, maybe they are heroes. Maybe I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Hero is an overused word in sports,
yeah.
as we all know. But I think what people are saying here is it takes a lot of guts to come out and say, look, I'm not right mentally because of what you're referring to. That when I was a kid, I remember having friends who went to psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. You know, because they had issues, whatever they might be, and it was something you whispered about. You know, you didn't talk about it. You didn't ask them about it. And the same's true to a large degree. I mean, people are more open now about going to therapy.
Yeah.
But it's still one of those, you know, kind of under the radar things that you don't really talk about. And when an athlete who's that much in the spotlight, whether it was Naomi Osaka back at the French Open in Wimbledon, or now Simone Biles comes out and says, "Hey, I'm struggling to deal with this." Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been great if Jennifer Capriati had been able to do that 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and say, "Look, my father's beating the hell out of me emotionally, and I can't take this anymore." But she couldn't do it.
You know what?
And she ended up out of the sport for 5 years. And Coco Gauff has talked about having depression issues. And I, again, because I have so much background in tennis, I don't have it in gymnastics, but the similarity is that the girls become stars at a very young age. And I think while their bodies might be ready for stardom, I'm not sure their minds are.
I know we got to run. I had an interesting conversation with a good friend of mine who's a coach, and he's born to coach, and his whole life is coaching. And he said, you know what? He thinks the coach failed her. Because the coach, to protect the reputation, and that's kind of, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I mean, again, I don't want to say it's a bad thing. It's good that you talk about mental health issues. But the coach could have stepped in, and because I'm telling you, this is going to hurt her reputation for 30 years, even and unfairly so.
No, you're right. No, you're 100% right about that. It's like, you know, when Bobby Kremins left Georgia Tech to go to South Carolina. And mm-hmm. after 2 days went back to Georgia Tech. And to this day, when guys take a job and then decide not to take it, coaches refer to it as pulling a Bobby Kremins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bobby's had to live with that for however many years it's been, 20-plus years. And you're right, if someone pulls out and says, look, my mind's just not right, there probably will be people who are saying they pulled either a Simone Biles or a Naomi Osaka because they were kind of the first
right.
to do it in such a public venue. And that's not fair. And, you know, maybe it'll be like with Tommy Smith and John Carlos in a completely different context, of course, where, you know, they were thrown out of the Olympics and they were called all these names in 1968. And now, all these years later, they're heroes because they should be.
Yep.
All right, John. Appreciate the time. It's John Feinstein. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. See you.
JP, right. Wasn't I right when I said Oklahoma City went to the finals and lost to the Heat?
Yes.
Okay. John told me I was wrong. He said they didn't get to the finals. I knew it. I know it was a while ago.
I thought they got to the finals, but I don't have any conviction that anymore was, in my memory.
But I remember Westbrook not
LeBron's first championship.
But I remember Westbrook not playing very well in those finals, and there was some friction between him and Durant.
I thought you were correct, but again, I have no conviction.
John was wrong.
No, you're 100% correct.
John was wrong. All right.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Brian McClelland, Capitals GM here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We've obviously talked a lot of NBA draft, what the Wizards did, Nationals, with all their trades. But joining us right now, on the BetQL guest hotline, you can bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's another guy who's been busy this week. It is the GM of your Washington Capitals, Brian McClellan. What's up, Brian?
Hey. Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's going
so,
on?
Yeah, you've been busy. Now, not as busy as Mike Rizzo. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
Yeah, I've been paying attention. This is a good time for sports junkies. There's a lot to talk about, huh?
Yeah, I mean, from the Wizards to right. You guys, though. But, you know what? Let's start front and center with the big news. Ovi's going to be here for 5 more years, right? Did he do the deal himself?
He was the one doing the meetings, and the conversations went through him. I think, you know, his family participated quite a bit. You know, we'd talk. He'd go back, talk to his family. I think he has a couple of advisors that he would talk to, too, and come back in and make some points that he was coached on. And eventually we all worked it out and got through it.
I don't know. I was just looking at the numbers. I think you got a bargain. I mean, I know he's at the end of the run, sort of. You know, I mean, he's not going to play another 20 years.
I was a little surprised by the amount of years. Not necessarily.
Maybe that was the concession.
Not necessarily the salary per year, but the number. I'm just a little surprised.
I think you got a bargain. Yeah. I think you got a bargain.
I mean,
Brian.
$50 million.
Yeah. No, I mean the years is. I mean it'll. You know, so far he's been, you know, healthy and he's been consistent. If he can continue to be durable like that, we're going to have no problem with the 5-year term. So, you know, there's a little bit of give and take on the AAV and the term, and we try to find a spot that made all parties happy, and that's where it worked out.
So do you feel like, and of course I'm a total hockey novice, I swoop in and become an expert come playoff time. But do you feel like his style of play is such that he can play at a high level? He's already proven it at an older age. In other words, he doesn't have to outskate people. You know, he's just so slick. He's got his little office there. He's such an underrated passer, in my opinion. But he could just kind of play this style and age gracefully. It seems like, anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And he remains healthy. The key for him is to maintain his shot. You know, if he can maintain that. Some players, as they age, lose a little on their shot, and it's not as effective. And I think that'll be the key for him.
Brian, who's similar in history that's kind of been kind of like him? I mean, I think he's a freak, but who's been kind of like him?
You know, I guess you'd have to say Brett Hull a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because the right shot, the one-timer, scores a lot of goals that way from certain areas. I think that would be one guy you'd compare him to.
And how did Hull age?
I think he aged well. I mean, he played a long time, and he, at the end he wasn't the quickest, but he still found spots. And if you're playing with a good playmaker, they can get you the puck, and your shot stays with you, which his did. You can play, you know. I don't know what his final age was, but, mm-hmm. You know, he survived, you know.
talking to Brian McClellan, GM of the Washington Capitals. So the last couple seasons have ended kind of the same way, right? You changed coach, but ended up in the same spot, first round exit.
Right.
If you do kind of an autopsy, and that's what you do as a GM of the team, what was missing in this year's playoff run?
Our health wasn't the best. We had key guys that were playing through stuff, and I thought we ran out of gas that way. Mm-hmm. I think we started the playoffs great. I thought we had a good year, during the season in a tough conference. You know, I think we finished sixth, seventh in the league. Both specialty teams were good. In the playoffs, we started good, three overtime games, and then we ran out of gas. Key guys didn't have it injury-wise, couldn't play up to 100%, and we ended up losing that first round.
Yeah, I was talking to someone who kind of knows, but they said that some of your guys were hurt more than the fans and the media knew.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So give me an update on for next year. Is the season scheduled to start on time with the full 82 games, or has that been adjusted?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think the league's plan is to, get back to normal next year. Might start a little later, and then we have the possibility of the Olympics. Probably a 2-week break, 3-week break for Olympics.
All right. So the expansion draft, the Kraken, there was a lot of talk leading up to it. Who was going to be exposed? Who was going to be protected? And probably the name as a sports talk show that was brought up the most on this team was Cousy. Tell us why you're keeping Cousy, what you guys think about Cousy moving forward.
Cousy's a good player. He's been a first or second line center for his career. He's been productive, remarkably productive. He's had, approximately 20 goals, 30, 40 assists a year. Last year was probably a little more inconsistent. He ended up getting COVID a couple times. So, I don't know what effect, it's hard to tell what effect that had on his year. So I don't think, as far as expansion draft, I don't think you just let a team take that player for free, because it's hard to create some depth up the middle on your team. So if you have that, you want to maintain that. So I don't think it was ever a consideration to put him on the exposure list for Seattle.
Now, you lost Vanecek, brought him back.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Kind of along the way, you guys lose Brendan Dillon. EB played golf with Brendan Dillon. Well, not really. Hit into Brendan Dillon's
group. That's true. I did.
He was a nice guy. Super nice guy.
He's a
big
great
guy. Physical player. Talk about the decision to move on from Dillon.
Yeah, I think, at the end of the year, re-signing Ovi, it looked like we were going to be approximately $4 million over the cap.
Okay.
So we had to see, exposure to Seattle. We try to, entice them to take, a $4 million player, not just Brendan Dillon. We would love to keep Brendan Dillon, but we try to keep some of those guys available to them. They chose not to go that way. They chose to go with Vanecek on a cheaper salary. And then we had to respond to that by, trying to get $4 million out of our lineup in different ways, and it ended up being Dillon in the end.
Who do you work with there at the Capitals to go through kind of the math aspects? You're not sitting there with the calculator, are you?
No, we got a few guys. We have pro scouts. We have a salary cap person, Don Fishman. We have a number of people that, we discuss, we get at a table, we go in the war room and talk about all the stuff.
Can you talk about some of the draft picks from 2021? I'm just kind of going through some of these now. Joaquin LeMay, Vincent Aurelio, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Brent Johnson.
Yeah, you did.
So talk about some of these guys.
It was an unusual draft this year in that our scouts, because of COVID, didn't get a lot of in-person views.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the schedule were reduced in the juniors, and there was a lot of video scouting going on. So I think we try to draft some guys that you know, we thought had some upside. So, you know, maybe late bloomers, maybe guys that have played behind other guys and haven't quite had the opportunity. We tried to draft some young guys that have opportunity to grow into more than what they might be predicted of being as players. And so they're all, you know, pretty decent players. And then time will tell if there's upside involved there.
That's how it always works. Time will tell for the GMs. Thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate the time.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
All right, man.
All right, that's Brian McClellan, the general manager of your Washington Capitals. Coming up next, let's talk about what our buddy, the GM of the Nationals, Mike Rizzo, did. And do you trust him for this rebuild? The Nationals trade 3 of their 4 All-Stars. Kyle Schwarber ends up in Boston. They traded their 2 best relievers in Tim Hudson and Brad Hand.
Daniel Hudson.
And then they also trade Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers.
That was the big one.
I trust him.
Do you trust Rizzo?
Yes.
Do you like what this team is doing? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Our pal Chris Miller from NBC Sports Washington, he'll join us at 9:20 as we get back into the Wizards, who had a draft. They drafted Corey Kispert from Gonzaga with the 15th pick. But the big deal was they traded away Russell Westbrook. So we'll get back into that at 9:20. But right now we wanted to focus on the Nats. We expected Max Scherzer to be dealt. He was dealt. Team's floundering out of it. In the NL East, when we talked to Mike Rizzo on Wednesday, he pretty much admitted they were going to be sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly were sellers, because not only did they trade Max Scherzer, but they traded Kyle Schwarber. They traded their best 2 relievers in Hudson and Hand. And Trey Bay is gone, too,
to the
Dodgers. Yeah. And that's somewhat of a surprise, although we did get the Peter Gammons report a couple days ago that they were listening. What do you make of it? Do you think that this is the right move for the Washington Nationals? Let's go right to the phones. 800-636-1067. Got the Gambit DC listener lines locked and loaded.
All right, let's go to Luke in Alexandria. Luke, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man. I was disappointed when I saw this. I understand Scherzer going, listen, the guy's an all-timer. Get him another ring. But letting Trey go, it really, really hurts. I mean, and you got to look at who we're paying and who we're not paying. We're paying Corbin. We're paying Stras, right? But we're not paying Trey, and who knows if we'll pay Soto? I'm a season ticket holder, and, you know, if any of my friends are listening, shoot me a text. I just had a baby. I have no reason to go to games this year anymore.
Are you going
to
get season tickets next year?
I'm a sucker, and I love the team, so yeah, right. Probably. But I'm going to cut back my share from 25 tickets probably down to 10.
Got you,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Hey, I think that's going to be a big hit
for
the team.
Luke, it's a tough spot, man, because you're not the only one who feels that way.
You should see the tweets I'm getting.
You should see the text machine.
People are
saying,
so
I hate Mike. I'm never going to the stadium again. He lied to us. I mean, they're going nuts.
Listen, what happened to In Rizzo We Trust?
They're going nuts.
The guy was the chief architect of a World Series title here just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm still glowing in that. I give him a pass. He's made so many key moves through the years. I also believe with all of my heart that he's handcuffed a bit by the learners.
No question.
I don't think that makes the learners bad people.
That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
Okay. And I just think that learners are business people, and they've decided that they're going to spend X amount, and at times they've spent a lot. You can't accuse them of being cheap.
No, they're not cheap.
Right,
but the business mistake, maybe, it's unproven, but what it's going to feel like for them to lose thousands of fans. I just punched up a graph, average regular season home attendance to the Nationals. And they're not the best in baseball. They're not the Cubs and some of these franchises that fill the stands no matter if you're winning or losing. They're just not. Right? So as they've been winning, World Series year, they averaged right around 28,000 fans. Year before that was 31,000 fans. But if you go back to when they weren't winning, like 2009 and 2010,
Well, they had number one overall draft pick a couple years in a row.
They were 22,000 per game versus 30,000. If they lose 8,000 fans per game times 81 games at home, you're going to feel that. And is it worth cutting your payroll to lose all of those fans?
They'll get them right back when they start winning again.
If they start winning.
When they start winning. They will win again. It might not be next year.
Right,
it might not be the year after.
Five more years.
Then they'll come back.
Well, I understand that.
The fans will always come back.
But then that's dumb if you're losing it for those 4 or 5 years.
I don't think it's going to be 4 or 5 years. I think Mike's track record, and I honestly believe this, and I'm not saying this just because he's on every week. I honestly think his track record is such that he will put a competitive team together, at least on paper, every year. Whether or not they can win a World Series, it's almost impossible.
Whether or not they make the
Series.
Postseason, yeah, but he doesn't.
They'll be competitive.
He just doesn't punt.
Injury.
He doesn't punt for 2 or 3 years.
No, he's not going to punt.
He'll
pick
good guys.
It's right now. It looks like it's very reliant on these prospects turning out to be good players. Now maybe they're going to go out and get free agents that are going to fill the void. But take a guy like Victor Robles. Victor Robles was supposed to be amazing. It hasn't worked out. So you don't know.
Well,
remember
how good
Rutledge.
Remember how good
you just don't know.
Victor was in the World Series year. He was really good. And I know people bring up the JT Realmuto deal and how they had an opportunity to trade for him when he was at the Marlins. But I don't know what happened there. I don't know if Mike said I can't trade Victor for JT. But remember, JT was a free agent to be and just signed a big deal with the Phillies.
Right.
Okay. 5 years, $120 million. It's a lot for a catcher. Maybe the learner said, I'm not spending $120 million on a catcher. And maybe that's why Mike said, I can't do it. So we just don't know.
Yep, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Do you trust Rizzo? 3 All-Stars dealt. Do you like the direction of what the Nationals are doing?
Let's go to Harry.
Hey, Harry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I blew my mind when I see Turner's name. I mean,
but you understand it, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't. Because this is a guy, this is a unique player, man.
Yeah.
This guy is, there's maybe 2 or 3 in the league that can even carry his jock strap. and getting rid of him, this is a guy you build a team around. This isn't a guy you send that packing.
Right. But, but look at it from a front office perspective, Harry. So they've already exchanged offers. They know where each other stands. He wasn't going to be able to re-sign him. He knew that the writing was on the wall. He knew it. He's been down this road before with Rendon. He's been down this road before with other players. So he decided to cash in his chips now where he could get the maximum value that he could. And is he going to potentially nuke next year potentially because of that? Because they're not going to have Trey Turner in the lineup?
More,
yeah, potentially.
Let me ask you this, Harry.
But for the long-term health of the franchise, he thought he made
the
right
decision. Let me ask you this, Harry. Who are you blaming for it?
I'm blaming the learners.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
You got to break the wallet open for something as unique as Turner. You got to break it open, man.
I would agree.
So you're going to give, So are you going to give Turner $350, let's say roughly, right? That's probably what it would take.
Let's just say $300.
And then you're going to give Soto up. $400, $500. I mean, come on. He's Juan Soto. He's going to be like, how old's he going to be? 25 when his deal's up? I mean, he's going to get
it's
a ridiculous
four more years.
Deal.
It's 4 more years. So, yeah, roughly.
Yeah, I guess I'm being greedy, but I want them both. I want to build, you got 2 spots there and you're starting 9 that are taken care of for a long time with those 2.
Right.
And
I want them both, too.
Yeah, I mean, I want them both. I understand Scherzer. I understand Schwarber. Schwarber was a rental. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and he did well for us. But Schwarber's, and his history repeats itself. He can't stay healthy for a whole year. Grab what you can for him, and they grabbed a nice little chunk for him, I think. And, I understand everybody, relief pitchers, I have no faith in any of the relief pitchers we've had for 10 years.
Well, Hudson was pretty good.
All right, Harry, thanks for the call.
Hudson
we got to get some more.
Good.
It's been a
Hudson,
churn, yeah. though.
Hudson was really good. Hudson's one of the reasons they won a World Series.
Let's go to Chris in Hinesville. I think there's a 0 chance they win without him. Chris! What's up?
Hey, I don't know if you remember me from a couple days ago. I said that I supported the learner's decision
and
possibly trading. Yeah.
Yep.
And so I'm ecstatic. I can tweet you guys something right now and share it with you. But If you look at the Nats' top 30 prospects, they just acquired 7 of them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That should tell you how bad their farm system was, that of the 8 players they acquired, 7 of them became ranked within their top 30 prospects in the entire system.
Right.
The entire
system was depleted.
Yep. You're right.
And this is what happens when you build a World Series team over a period of years.
This is what happens when you buy.
Yes, eventually got to pay the piper.
When you go to the playoffs 5 out of 9 years and you win a World Series, well, okay, eventually
you got to replenish.
Yeah.
And then one more thing. People forget how the Nationals became a contender. It's the seed of their success was, in fact, losing. They lost almost 100 games a year for several seasons in a row to put them in the position to draft Strasburg, to draft Harper, to draft Rendon. You've got to be bad sometimes. You've got to pull back sometimes in order to have the draft capital and the space that is on the roster to get better. I'm really excited. I don't know if they'll be able to compete next year, but they're going to have a boatload of cash. They'll be much more competitive in free agency. There are still guys out there like Marcus Semien, even Trevor Bauer, if you want, that they could acquire.
No, thanks.
You're right. And I guarantee you Mike does that. Mike's not going to sit back and just put a bunch of minor league no-names on the roster like the Orioles are doing. They're not going to do that.
The Orioles got Mullins.
I know. I'm just saying that's not the way Mike
swept
works.
Swept them up in Camden.
That is true. They were better. They were definitely better.
Thanks, put the dagger in the season.
Look, I think the Orioles are getting better. It's going to take a while, but they're getting better. They got the ownership issue too. But
the thing with the Orioles though has been a 20-year plan.
Yeah, I get it.
It's been a long 20 years.
It's been longer for that guy's team right there, Seattle. That is 20 years of no playoffs.
I can't believe that guy's excited for the rebuild because of their previous luck with Strasburg and Harper. Those were generational guys that they luck boxed into by having them available the years they were so bad. Mm-hmm. Chance of that happening again?
It's unlikely.
Possible.
It's unlikely. They're never
going to have the number one pick overall. You're
back
right.
to back.
Who's that?
Is
that Chris in Hyattsville? I bet he's a silly fantasy baseball player. Especially with keeper leagues.
Let's go to Tom.
By the way, the Orioles were in the playoffs in 2016.
Yes, I know.
I know. I'm saying the Mariners haven't been in for 20 years. The Mariners are the only team in the 4 major sports to have not been in the playoffs in the last 20 years. Think about that. Maybe this year, but that's a long time.
Tom, you're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. Dark day in Washington as far as I'm concerned.
Go ahead.
You had a potential MVP player here. He's a potential. Where do you find someone like that? They'll never have another shortstop like Trey.
Tom, let me ask you a question, honestly. Do you think that Mike Rizzo, who said on our show this week that Trey Turner's the best trade he's probably ever made, he's the best player he's ever traded for and the best trade he's ever pulled off, do you think he wanted to do this?
I think he was dictated by the learners. I really do. But what they're doing is, hey, we're now labeled as a small market team. That's what it is. It came down to dollars. But you know what? You can't take the dollars with you. And frankly, once again, I mean, this guy, he's a once-in-a-lifetime shortstop. I mean, you can't get rid of an MVP. You just can't.
I don't know if he's a once-in-a-lifetime guy because there's Fernando Tatis. I mean, there are other guys who are really good. But he's very, very good.
Not many out there. He's one, two, or three. Yes. You know, there's not many out there at all.
Agreed.
So, very disappointed. Season ticket holder, just very disappointed. I got another reason why I'm mad at Lerner, Rizzo, but I won't go into that. But I know you guys defend him because he's on the show every week. But
no,
you know what?
I'm trying to be honest.
We defend him because of his track record.
But I'm not
everybody
trash
on the show
him.
That we defend.
I'm not going to trash it because he comes on every week.
Yes.
Say again?
I said we defend him because
of his track record. I don't believe that. I think you guys are being overly accommodating to Rizzo right now. I don't like it. You know, whatever.
I would like to hear what your beef is then. Have you got some secret beef? Let's hear it.
Because he sat next to me at a game a few weeks ago, and I was like, hey, Mike, how about a picture? And he's like, no, man, I'm busy right now.
Right. I probably would have said the same thing.
What a loser.
You lose all credibility, Tom. My God. He's upset that he didn't take a picture with him.
During a game.
I mean, are you kidding?
All right, got to take a break. We'll keep taking your calls. 800-636-1067. Do you trust Mike Rizzo and the rebuild as the Nationals deal 3 All-Stars yesterday? Keep it here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.